If you have your Bible, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. Tonight we want to look at verse number 8. Blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. First of all tonight, I want us to see that we should be heeding the heavenly messenger. Thousands have been saved in Galilee, and they're following Jesus. And he goes up into the mountain, and the Bible says he sets down, and he begins to open his mouth and teach them. Now in these verses, the heavenly messenger is the Lord Jesus. And he begins to preach the Sermon on the Mount. And he begins this Sermon on the Mount with what we call the Beatitudes. It is the attitudes that Christians ought to be. The first one is blessed are the poor in spirit. It is to be bankrupt of ourself and dependent upon God. The second one is blessed are they that mourn. And that is that we should express a godly sorrow over our sin. The third one is blessed are the meek. That is to take a humble, lowly, submissive attitude that we might be teachable and pliable in the hands of Almighty God. The fourth one is blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. We should be desiring the things of God. The fifth one is blessed are the merciful. I do believe it is the fruit of the first four. And certainly it would teach us that you and I should learn to be compassionate about the needs of others. And then we come to this one. Blessed are the pure in heart. Now I like it when Jesus said blessed. We know that many translators have said that that's the word for happy, the Greek word makarios. But really happiness depends on circumstance, and circumstances and situations will change. You may be more or less happy over the course of days. But I like the translation, blessed. Friend, it is a deep, inner, abiding peace and joy and contentment that only God as our source can give us. And certainly we need to be living out of a place and a state of blessedness. Prosperity can't produce blessedness. Affliction and adversity cannot take blessedness away. In verse 8, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. The pure in heart are those that have a inner goodness. You see, outward goodness without inner goodness is really not goodness at all. It is God that is concerned tonight about the condition of the hearts of Christians. Oh yes, praise God, I know you are saved. And you can say the condition of my heart is good. I've been saved. Hallelujah. But now that you've been saved and Jesus lives inside, are your motives pure? Is your love and your compassion pure? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? 1 Samuel 16:7 says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So then, friend, what is the heart? It is the inner of man. That's what it is. The inner quality of man. So first of all, we must be heeding the heavenly messenger when he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, I think second of all about the hindrance to that. The
hindrance of hypocrisy, we've already mentioned, to be pure in heart is to have an inner goodness. Many will exhibit an outer goodness, but have terrible inner goodness, and my friend, they have no purity or no goodness at all. Now, what is hypocrisy? We all know what that is. It is a fake appearance. It is someone who is a pretender. It is someone who is an actor playing out a part. The Pharisees were certainly hypocritical in that they loved the outward appearance. They wore scripture on their head and on their forearms, but in their heart they were wicked. Listen what Jesus said about the Pharisees in Matthew 23 and verse number 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. In other words, Jesus said, you love the outward appearance, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. Now, there was a hungry man who had looked everywhere for a job, and finally he applied for a job at a zoo. And the man at the zoo said, sir, we really don't have a job or a position for you that's open. However, our gorilla died this week. And people have been very upset about us not having a gorilla. So if you would be willing to put on a gorilla costume and get inside the cage in front of the people and beat your chest, we'd love to hire you on and we'd feed you well too. And the man said, you know, I think I'll try that. And he took the job at the zoo and he was doing real good as he beat on his chest and he swung on them ropes inside his little cage and he was really selling that he was a gorilla. Until one day he took a real big swing showing out in front of some little kids and he lost a grip on the rope. And it pitched him over the side of his cage and he dropped in the lion's den. And the lion let out a ferocious roar. And the man jumped up and thought, ooh, if I say anything, I will give myself up and everybody will know that I'm a fake. So I've got to keep acting like a gorilla even though I'm not. Even though a lion is getting ready to eat me. So as best he could in his gorilla suit, he took off running. And he ran for the wall, which he just fell over, and tried to climb it. As he looked behind him, the lion followed him and roared again. The man quickly tried to climb the wall, and when he got to the top, the lion let out another ferocious roar, and in terrible fear, the man let go of the wall and fell back in the lion's den. And he jumped up and he said, I don't care if I'm found out or not. Help, he said, help, I fell in the lion's den. And about that time he heard a voice come from the lion. Shut up, stupid. You'll blow this gig for both of us. You see, hypocrisy and purity cannot coexist. You're not going to be able to come and say, I love you, brother, and stab your brother in the back and really be pure. You're not going to go to your wife and say, I love you, honey, and turn around and cheat on her and really be pure. Purity and hypocrisy cannot coexist. And hypocrisy will ruin or hurt our relationship with Almighty God and ruin our fellowship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A Christian, a real Christian, must be bona fide, genuine from his heart. To be a Christian and not live a Christian life is to be a failure and is to be a hypocrite. I think about this verse in Philippians chapter 1, over here in about verse number 10. Turn with me there in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, pinned down these words, speaking about the genuineness of a Christian. That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. The term without offense is to be genuine on the outside and on the inside as well. You and I, then, if we're going to be sincere and without offense, then we should not cause anyone else to stumble over the way we live our Christian life. Are you with me? Those are deep words. You shouldn't cause anyone at all to stumble. There was a young man who was going to take his girlfriend on a romantic picnic, and they stopped by the chicken shack to get them some chicken for the picnic. And when they got to the picnic area and he opened his bucket of chicken, he found $9,000 of cash inside that bucket of chicken. What had happened was the manager had fixed the night deposit and put it in a chicken bucket, and somehow the person who was working inside the store picked up the wrong bucket, and now he's got $9,000 that doesn't belong to him. He thought, I'm a good fella. I'm going to take that money back down there to the chicken shack. And he went in and he set down that bucket and he said, listen, I really just want my chicken and I'm going to get out of here. And the manager says, oh, wow, boy, we've been looking for this everywhere. Praise God that you're willing to come back, an honest man. And he said, I want to call the news and the newspaper and take your name and put. And he said, listen, I don't want any of that. I just want my chicken. He said, wow, not only, sir, are you honest, but you're humble too. I can't believe it. You would just shrug off all of this news and trying to go out to the world and say to the world that there's still honest people living in a dishonest society. And the man started getting upset. He said, listen, man, I just come here to get my chicken. Just let me go. He said, I just can't believe it, sir. Why in the world would you want to just rush out of here? I'm offering you an opportunity for someone to recognize that there are still honest people around. He said, what's your name, man? What's the name of this? Is this your wife? He said, you see, that's just the point. My girlfriend's in the car. My wife's at the house. And I need my chicken so I can get out of here. It looked like he was honest. He sure acted like he was humble. But really, he was having an affair behind his wife's back. You see, a real Christian ought to be genuine. Now, you may say, now, preacher, I've messed up my life. Are you telling me that I'm not even saved? I'm telling you, friend, that your conduct and your character is in question. You need to get some things straightened out in your life is what you ought to do. I want you to look to another verse of Scripture over here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bibles, we've already looked at the word to be without offense. We ought to be sincere. I want to say this, that purity of heart is not always just about being sincere. You can be sincerely wrong. Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal to a duel, and he said, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And those prophets of Baal, they began to jump on the altar and even cut themselves in sincerity trying to get Baal to answer by fire. They were sincerely wrong. But when Elijah prayed, the God of glory answered and the fire fell and consumed the sacrifice and licked up all the water and the dust and the stones. Friend, I'm telling you what, being sincere doesn't mean you're pure. Now the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, what should we do? Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Does that verse apply to you? Now look at me. I'm up here. Don't start thinking that that verse applies to somebody else. I can think of two or three that ought to take off their hypocritical mask. I can think of two or three that need to change their evil speaking. If that's what you're thinking, you're doing it. You've got some evil speaking in your heart as well. Well, you're a fine one to preach that to us, preacher. That's to you too. Amen. God done give it to me. And I got qualified now to where I can preach it. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said we're supposed to lay aside. That means to strip off and throw it down and leave it behind. Your hypocritical actions and your hypocritical motives and your evil thinking and your malice and your guile, you need to take all that junk and lay it aside. You're supposed to be a Christian. Don't you sit here and say, he ain't preaching that to me. Yes, honey, I am preaching that to you. Well, I just won't listen to you anymore. That'll be fine, but God the Holy Ghost that told me to preach it is a whole lot bigger than me. And he knows where you live, and he'll go home with you if you're really saved, and you ain't getting away with nothing. He'll keep needling you. I'm telling you, if you're going to be pure in heart, your hypocrisy, brother, is hindering you from having a proper relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, I see miracles take place in our parking lot, husbands and wives fighting, and the miracle takes place in the parking lot. Say, now let's behave ourselves. We're at church, and go in and act like everything's fine. And as soon as this service is over, you'll go home and fight like cats and dogs. You get along just long enough to come to church. Or God, something's wrong with that. Hey, I'm talking about being a Christian 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 or 66 days a year if need be. You don't get leap year off. We ought to avoid and shun hypocrisy in our lives at all times. Number three, not only should we heed the heavenly messenger, and not only should you and I take this message to our heart to understand what the purity of heart is all about, but number three tonight, there should be holiness in the heart. Holiness in the heart. The Bible says in the New Testament that without holiness you will not see God. And after all, this verse said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. So what is this holiness in the heart? You see, again, purity is more than sincerity. It is being genuine, stripped down to nothing, and having a holy attitude about all things. To be pure in heart, the word pure is the word katharos. It means to clean or to be made clean. If you took your dirty towels and you put them in the washing machine and you washed them, you would say that they are katharos, that they have been washed and made clean. Friend, I'm telling you what, our righteousness is as filthy rags, and we can be made right with God by Him washing us. And not only is it to be made clean like being washed clean, but it is grain being separated from the chaff. It is winnowed and made clean. It is like an army being purged of all those that are cowardly, of all those that are unwilling, and all those that are discontent. They would consider themselves to be cleansed. It is milk, Brother Matthew, that is without a mixture of water to dilute that milk down. We need whole milk from the Word of God. Amen. Now, friend, a pure-hearted person is a person whose motives are unmixed, whose thoughts are holy, and whose conscience is right with God. How's your conscience tonight? A pure man has a heart that is devoted to the Lord, focused and undivided at all times. A person that is pure in heart is free from the distractions of things that are selfish, of things that are sinful, and things that are impure. I was doing a study, and did you know for men that are from ages 17 through 30, those young men, about 70% of them look at pornography. 70%. And they'll sit in their churches and pretend to be pure and be far from it. The Bible says the pure in heart. What is the word heart? The Greek word is the word cardia. It's not speaking of the heart as an organ, but a heart being the inner man. The heart is the center of your motives. The heart is the center of your attitudes. The heart is the center of your communication. Preacher, what do you mean? I think I speak with my mind and my tongue. Let me tell you something. Your mind and your tongue are driven by your will, by your inner man. And, oh, preacher, I didn't really mean to say that. I know it was really in there. It just come up the well and out through the mouth. Amen? Oh, he said some ugly words to me, preacher. Boy, my wife really hurt me, preacher. Let me tell you what, it was in there, or wouldn't have been said. So I just got angry. Listen, it's in there. And that junk has got to get out if we're going to have a pure heart. And it's not that you get, when the service is over, to blow off a little steam and clear off a patch of glory and tell everybody off and say, now I feel a whole lot better. No. It is that you surrender your will to the Lord. The heart, my friend, is identified as the seat of our actions and the seat and center of our feelings, of the thoughts and of our will. Some people have a perverted view of purity. You know, I know some people that believe they can purify themselves just because they will it to be, so I'm going to clean up and I'm going to do better. This is what David said in Psalm 51. He said, I was shapen in iniquity. In other words, I was born this way. And what he's saying is, I cannot change myself and I cannot make myself clean. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take the blood of Jesus to cleanse the inner man to cause us to be pure. Yes, but preacher, I've already been saved. But you still have a flesh that'll get real fouled up and messed up and go back to acting like a hypocrite just like that. I'm saying, if you want to see God in your life, if you want to see God around here, you're going to have to get pure in heart. Proverbs 16:2 says this, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. You may say, well, there ain't nothing wrong with it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Hey, the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. You cannot purify yourself. Just name it and claim it will not work. You cannot purify others. You think you can point out their faults and their failures, and in doing so, you can cause them to be pure. It won't work. Luke 6:42, listen to this verse, and I know you know it. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. You may say, I see everybody else's fault and everybody else's impurity, but the problem, the reason you're seeing everybody else, is because you don't want to look at yourself. And if you did look at yourself, you'd find out how impure you are. And friend, you have an impure view of other people. You are filled with biases. And I'm not just talking about racial bias. You are biased against anybody that's not in your family when it comes down to certain subjects. Amen, preacher. The only way we're going to get purity in our heart is to deal with our own purity, our own faults, and our own failures before we're going to be able to point out everybody else's. Get the beam out of your own eye. The beam is this big and the mote's that big. And you're going to see what's wrong with somebody else when you're doing this. I don't think it'll work. We have a perverted view of purity. There are precepts of purity. We are commanded to be pure. Hey, this being blessed are they that are pure in heart is not just an idea or a suggestion. It's a command. He says over here in 1 Timothy 5:22, keep thyself pure. It's not just a one-time action. You have to keep. You have to maintain the inner man. You with me? We're to exhibit love from a pure heart. Do you know how many people have just told me off and said, I love you? You don't say I love you and tell somebody off. Huh? If you think that's okay, meet me after the service. Okay? Because it won't work. If you really love somebody, you won't talk to them the way you talk to them. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without dissimulation. You know what dissimulation means? Hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. If you really say you love somebody, love them in actions. Love them behind the scenes. Love them all the time. If you're going to say I love them and then go gather up and talk about them, something wrong somewhere. I'm talking about if we're going to have revival, we better get ready for it. I'm talking if we really want to be the church God wants us to be and see souls saved, it starts with us. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, what is the process of purity then, preacher? I think you've already got me. I'm impure. Okay, I'm a hypocrite. I speak evil. I've got malice. I've got guile. Yes, it's me, preacher. You got me. What's the process for purity? First of all, there is a confession of sin. You don't confess it to me. You confess it to God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is compliance to the Scripture. Psalm 119:9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Hey, when we comply to the Scripture, there'll be some change, some purity in our hearts. I want you to see this verse. You was in 1 Peter a minute ago. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22. This compliance to the Scripture. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Did you see that verse? Lord, have mercy. What a verse about purity. Let's look at it again and chew on it like an old cow. The Bible says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. In other words, you've took the Word of God, you've confessed to Him your sin, and you've complied to the Word of God. You purify your soul in obeying the truth. Through the Spirit. It's the Spirit that points out your sin. You think it's the preacher, but honey, it ain't. It's the Spirit of God giving witness to you that says, look at that right there. You think it was the preacher. He must know something about me. Oh, no. The Holy Ghost told the preacher what to preach. And the Holy Ghost took His words and came to you and pointed out something in your life that you might not like. But He says, seeing you have obeyed your souls and obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfeigned means it's not hypocritical. It's real, genuine love from the heart. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervent. Isn't how quiet it gets in here? That's a strong verse. I thought about how to illustrate this, and I run across this one. In Mexico, they have a fig vine that's called the metapolo. And the metapolo just attaches itself to trees, and it will twist like poison ivy up that tree. And it bears a little fruit called a little fig. It's only edible to cattle and to birds. And the birds love to eat those little figs, and when they do, it gets a sticky substance on their beak. And so they have to rub their beak off and get it clean. They fly to another tree, and as they take their beak to rub it off on that tree, the seeds from that vine stick to the branches of this other tree. And when the rainy season comes in Mexico, those seeds that are stuck there like glue, when they get water, they begin to germinate. And tiny little roots begin to go into that wood and take root, and that vine begins to grow. And over the course of a small amount of time, those vines, as they grow, will choke down what once was a beautiful and fruitful tree to where it is completely choked and nothing. Likewise, sin, when it bears in our life and it begins to germinate, it will kill the purity in our hearts, and it will begin to choke us completely down where we'll never have victory or freedom or liberty with the Lord. You've got to be careful about making sure that you remove sinful habits by the Word of God to clean up your life. Preacher, what do you mean? God said in Isaiah 1:18, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be like crimson, they shall be white as snow." What he's saying is, though there are seeds of sin all around you, I can give you a pure heart. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2, I want to say the coming of the Lord should motivate purity. Hey, when we know the Lord's coming, and every day we're drawing closer, we ought to get more and more pure. We ought to. In 1 John chapter number 3 and in verse number 2, the Bible says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself as He is pure." Do you see that? Because the Lord's coming, we ought to want to purify ourselves to be ready to meet the Lord. Next thing we ought to do is we ought to be craving purity. There's a little animal called the ermine. He has a beautiful white fur in the wintertime. And he's very precious to the hunters. And so they've learned what to do to get this ermine. They don't set a trap for him. What they do is they find where he lives. He lives in trees and little caves, and they rub grime and filth all over the mouth of his home, the opening to entrance of his home. And while he's away, they turn the dogs on the ermine, and he begins to run with his little white coat. And when he comes and sees the grime and the filth on his home, he won't enter because he values his white coat. And what he does is he allows the dogs to kill him. When all he had to do was go through the grime and the filth and he'd have been safe, he'd have been home. But instead, he's trapped and killed by the dogs. You see, the ermine says to the Christian that purity is more precious than life. I'd rather have a pure heart and be right with God than to go on living in filth and have a soiled life. Do you tonight value purity of heart more than you value life? Thought as I was prepared for this message, I'd rather have the hand of God, the order of God, than anything else. I'd rather stand back here and have y'all spit in my face and say I'll never hear you preach again, never come back, as to lose the honor of God. Purity of our heart in this church has got to be more valuable than life. It must be a priority for us. To me, in these progressive steps of the Beatitudes in our Christian character and conduct, to me, this one is the most important: to be pure in our heart with everybody. Psalm chapter 19 says this: "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." Verse 14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the inner man. Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Written by someone who wanted fellowship through purity with the Lord. Tonight, as I close, and fourthly and finally, the scripture says again, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Number four, there is the honor of seeing God. To see God has got to be the greatest honor and the greatest privilege ever. You see, an unsaved man or even a saint of God that gets fouled up in sin, he has no desire to see the Lord. You remember back there in Exodus chapter number 33 when Moses said, Lord, I want to see thy glory. You remember that? And he said, you can't look upon me. And he hit him in the cleft of the rock. As the Lord passed by, Moses was allowed to see God's hinder parts. No man can see God and live. Yet Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Huh. I've seen God in the scriptures, haven't you? I've seen God in His Son, Jesus Christ. He said in John 14:9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Preacher, you've not seen Jesus. I've seen Him by faith. Job didn't see Him, but listen what he said. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. He was seeing through the eye of faith. We've seen God in Scripture. We've seen God in His Son. We've seen God by faith. We see God in creation. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You may say, I've never heard a gospel message, but the sunshine and the stars and the streams and the trees and the mountains preach a message that there is a merciful, graceful, loving Creator God. Amen. But one day, when we've seen by faith and in the Scriptures and through creation, one day we're going to see God face to face. For those that are genuinely saved, for those that are real, for those that are pure in heart, you stand to your feet tonight. Are you pure in heart according to the Word of God? Do you see God working in your life, working in your church, working in your employment, working in your family, working in your Sunday school class, working in WANA? Do you see God at work? Tell you what more could God do? What more could God do if we were pure in heart in our lives? Amen. One day, the pure in heart will see God. Whew. Preacher, I'll just never get it. There's no way I'll ever be pure in heart. When we come to Him and we lay ourselves down and say, Lord, I lay my thoughts, my ideas, my motives, my attitudes, my character, my conduct, I lay it all down before You. God, forgive me of it all and help me to live for You. God looks at the purity of Jesus and exchanges your impurity for His purity. And He says, go in grace and go in peace. Ooh, hallelujah.